Morning. If you would open your Bibles, let me get myself turned on here. If you would open your Bibles to John, the fifth chapter, John chapter 5. We'll read from there in a couple of minutes. The core of my lesson this morning came from an article I saw shared on Facebook. So a lot of the ideas, main point type ideas, came from that article, and I kind of colored in around those ideas. There are many important days in a person's life: the day they get married, the day they're baptized, births of children. But commonly all these dates are different throughout the people in the world. Your birthday may be in November, mine's in October, so on and so forth. This morning I want to discuss the day that we've been singing about for the last few minutes. A day that everyone will have in common. And will be the most important day of everyone's life. The Bible speaks often of a day of reckoning when the righteous and wicked will be called before God. Jesus says in John 5, verses 28, 29, "Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and will come out, those who did the good deeds to a resurrection of life and those who committed the bad deeds to a resurrection of judgment. All will stand before the King of Kings to give an account of the conduct of our lives." Again, Jesus speaking in Matthew 25, verses 31 through 33. "But when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all his angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne, and all nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate from one another, just as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left." More specifically this morning, I want to discuss six things that will not be present on the day of judgment. I've heard people talk about doubting the moon landing. As a conspiracy theorist, you may have heard that before. I've heard it several times. It was filmed in Hollywood. It's not, they really didn't land on the moon. It's a government conspiracy. These people believe it's fake. They're doubters. They also can be called unbelievers. And on the day of judgment, there will be no unbelievers. Amen. We read in Philippians 2, verses 10 and 11, Philippians 2, verses 10 and 11, Paul writes, "So the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father." Also in Revelation 1, verses 5 through 7, "And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, the ruler of the kings of earth, to him who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood, and he made us into a kingdom, priests to his God and Father, to him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. So it is to be. Amen." Through a quick Google search, returned roughly 7% of the world's population does not believe in God. That comes out to about 450 to 500 million people that will instantly be converted into believers on the day of judgment. The atheists and the God haters, according to Paul, what we read in Philippians 2, will confess that Jesus is Lord. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, "For we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each may receive compensation for his deeds done through the body, in accordance with that, with what he has done, whether good or bad." There's an old saying, but I've probably used it here before. I've heard it a lot. I've never seen a U-Haul being pulled by a hearse. The other saying, you can't take it with you, when people are talking about their material possessions or their money. So spend all your money because you can't take it with you. On the day of judgment, we will not have any material possessions with us. 2 Peter 3:10, we read, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be discovered. It is easy in our earthly life to get caught up in collecting physical stuff. We all have stuff. Whether it's cars, houses, boats, professional titles at work, or maybe we just like to collect money. Looking back at what Peter wrote, we will not have a choice on the day of judgment. All our material possessions will be destroyed along with the earth. Jesus taught in the 6th chapter of Matthew. Matthew 6, we'll start reading in verse 19. Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Solomon, the author of the book of Ecclesiastes, who was granted abundant wisdom from God, was one of the wealthiest people to ever live. He concluded Ecclesiastes with advice that we all should follow. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13, the conclusion when everything has been heard is, fear God and keep His commandments, because this applies to every person. We will stand before God without our TV, without our designer clothes, without our new truck, and we will not even have our phone with us. There will be no Googling answers. We will stand before God to give an account for the deeds that we have done in our life. In today's justice system, if a person goes on trial, there are appeals they can make. There are mistrials that can be granted. If there are issues with the evidence, with the lawyers, with the judge. But on the day of judgment, there will be no appeals to a higher power. Acts 17 and 31 tells us that God is a righteous judge. Acts 17 and 31 reads, because He has set a day on which He will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom He has appointed, having furnished proof to all people by raising him from the dead. Throughout my days of teaching and coaching, when I had made decisions that went against a student, have a couple students fighting over something, arguing over something, and I may be called in to be the judge, I'm the arbitrator. And I might hear the words when I make my decision, that's not fair. They're probably right. Because I'm not a righteous or perfect judge. Our God is the perfect and righteous judge. With righteous being defined as morally right or justifiable, virtuous. And He is our perfect judge. Paul describes his own death in 2 Timothy 4 and 8. He tells Timothy, in the future there is reserved for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to those, but also to all who have loved His appearing. On the day of judgment, it will be eternally too late to make an appeal to a higher power, because we will be judged in that moment by the highest power. Our God will not make any mistakes, because He is incapable of making mistakes. He is all-knowing, and on the day of judgment, we will receive our final sentencing for eternity. On the day of judgment, as I just stated, since we're going to be judged by an all-knowing and perfect God, there will be no secrets. Whatever you have done in the dark of night, whatever you have done anonymously on a computer, and whatever secrets that you have stored away in the closet of skeletons, this will all be exposed on the final day. Romans 2 and verse 16 tells us, on the day when according to my gospel, God will judge the secrets of mankind through Christ Jesus. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 4 and 5, therefore do not go on passing judgment before the time, but wait until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the things hidden in darkness and disclose the motives of human hearts. And then praise will come to each person from God. In the final verse of Ecclesiastes 12 and 14, Solomon writes, For God will bring every act into judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. It is easy to fool humans. When I was growing up, it's a congregation a lot of miles away from here. There was a person in our congregation who is a nationally wanted criminal worshiping with us. And by nationally wanted, I mean presently, not in a past life. He would travel for work, and while he was traveling, he would break into people's hotel rooms, not while they were gone, but while they were there, tie them up, steal their belongings. He was actually known as like the gentleman bandit or the gentleman robber, because while he was tying them up, it's not too tight, is it? So no one in our congregation had any idea until he was arrested one day. But we had seen it on America's Most Wanted, on the news, and I mean, it had been reported. No one had any idea that we were worshiping with a person who was wanted nationwide. It is easy to sit in a pew. It is easy to put on a Christian front. It is easy to pretend that we are following Christ. But there is nothing hidden from an all-knowing God. He knows our thoughts and he knows our secrets, and we should live accordingly. Turn to Matthew chapter 25. I have a lengthy reading there. Matthew chapter 25, Jesus is describing the day of judgment, and he gets into detail of what's going to be said and done on the day of judgment. Matthew 25. We'll read verses 31 through 36. Matthew 25, verses 31 through 36, and then we're going to drop down to verse 41. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate from one another, just as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right, but the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Now, starting verse 41. Then he will also say to those on his left, depart from me, you accursed people, into the eternal fire which is prepared for the devil and his angels. Where I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me. Noticeably, during Jesus's talk, his discussion of the day of judgment, there's no third line for those who want to be baptized on the day of judgment. Because on the day of judgment, there will be no baptisms. Everyone will have had their opportunity while on this earth to follow God's commandment to be baptized. And this life is all we have. And in reality, all we're guaranteed is this moment. There is no future guaranteed for us to obey God's commandment to be baptized. A chapter before, in Matthew 24, Jesus gets into a description about his return. Matthew 24, and we'll read verses 42 through 44. Matthew 24, 42 through 44. Therefore, be on alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known what time of night the thief was coming, he would have been on alert and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. For this reason, you must be ready as well. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think he will. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 16, Paul writes, For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Both of these descriptions that we just read have an element of surprise. When I was young, one Sunday morning, our preacher, it was his turn in the order of services to get up and preach his sermon. He stood in front of the congregation. He delivered about a 2-minute invitation. All he did was offer the invitation, and we started singing the invitation song, and I was fired up because it was like 11:15, and I was like, we're going to beat everybody to lunch. There's no lines, extra naps. He had done his 2-minute invitation, singing the invitation song ends, he gets back up, and he preaches a sermon about how Judgment Day is unexpected. And obviously it stuck with me because I was probably about 12 or 13 years old when this happened. Judgment Day will be a surprise, just like what our preacher did to us that Sunday morning. The final thing that I have on my list that we will not have on Judgment Day is an invitation song. There will be no warning. There is not going to be a cult who guesses right and drinks poison 5 minutes before the Lord comes back. We do not know when the Lord will return, and nor do we know when our life will end. On the day of judgment, there will be a righteous judge that will give every person a fair trial. We will all give an account for our lives. An eternal sentence will be handed down based on one's life and our acceptance or rejection of God's commandments. There will be no parole. There will be no stay of execution. There will be no pardon for the lost. As Nolan stated before, Hebrews 9 and 27 tells us we only get one shot, we only get one life, and now is the time. If you are unprepared, if you have not been baptized, if you understand right from wrong, then you are lost, and the day of judgment should be terrifying for you. But there is a solution. There is an answer to being lost, and God provides to us. We must obey God's commandments by being baptized and rising out of the water as a new person to live a new life following God. All of us will need abundant grace and mercy to be able to stand on the right side of God, and the scripture tells us how that is extended. We must follow God's commandments. Maybe you have been baptized and maybe you've fallen away. Maybe life has beat you up. Maybe you've abandoned God. But you have an opportunity now to come back. The brothers and sisters here in our congregation, we're able to pray with you. We can pray for you. But I plead with you, do not wait till the day of judgment to find out that you're on the wrong side. If you have need, please come as we stand and sing.